Good morning. For those who don't know me, I'm Ryan Lenners, and I am a team pastor here at Ashworth. And today I'd like to wish everybody a happy early Thanksgiving. We've got that coming up on Thursday, and so I know that for many of us, we're going to be hopping in cars and driving to go and visit family and have that big celebration at mom and dad's house, or maybe you're the one that drew the short straw, so everybody's coming to your house and you're responsible for the meal. And if you're like my family, at some point in this big, busy, hectic day, as you sit at the table, you're going to go around the table and you're going to ask, now say something that you are thankful for. And this is something that I love. Often the answers are, I'm thankful for family and food and for my job. Maybe that God got you through a difficult season in this past year. And it's one tradition that I love, but I know that inevitably this is what's going to happen around my table. My first son, whoever it happens to be, is going to say, family. And the others are going to look at him and go, good answer, good answer. And then I'm going to get to the next son and he's going to say, same. Because if you don't know teenage culture, they've simplified me too to just same, because it's one less word. And they'll just say same. And at that moment, I will feel myself wanting to reach across the table and strangle that boy. How could he be so inarticulate? How could he be so unoriginal, so ungrateful for all the things that me and his mother have given to him? There's a myriad of answers he could have given, and he says, same. And the answer to that question, unfortunately, is I have to look at myself and blame me. I have to take some of the blame for the lack of gratitude that my children have not yet fully developed in themselves. Because truly, Thanksgiving is probably the one time of the year that I ask them to articulately state, what specifically are you thankful for? And so they haven't developed that thinking. They don't know how to actually think about, what am I thankful for? So they give this one-word answer. They fake it through this circle time that they find so awkward, and they hope, oh, I hope this doesn't happen again until next year. I just have to get through it. And ultimately, the reason that I probably don't talk about gratitude in my own home more often is because it isn't often at the top of my own mind. Now, don't get me wrong. It's not that I'm some ingrate myself. Like, I know how to be polite. When somebody passes the salt, I say thank you. When somebody gives me a Christmas gift, I'll write them a thank you note. When I send an email, I always end it with thanks. Even if I didn't get anything from them, I just always sign thanks, Ryan. Like, I know how to be polite. But for many of us, that's where our gratitude stops. We do the polite thing, we show that we have manners, but then right away we start focusing on what else we need. We fail to live a life of gratitude and instead just intersperse it in those moments where we'd look bad if we didn't say thank you. Let's be honest. Often we say thank you just because we know that we'd look bad if we didn't. But is it something that's deep inside our hearts? I don't know. And we have to imagine, in those moments, God looks down at us, knowing the multitude of good gifts that he has given to us. And he wants to reach across the table and strangle us. He wants to be like, I've given you so much. How can you have such little thanks in your heart? Why are you so focused on getting more and not focused on all these great things that I've given to you? He's just like me, wanting to see in my boys a greater developed sense of gratitude. He has that same desire for every single one of us. You see, God desired to be in relationship with us. And then he created this incredible world that is such an awesome gift, and he gave it to us. And in this world is all the food that we need to eat. Every plant and every animal is for us to enjoy. He's given us incredible beauty in the skies above and every sunrise and sunset and the trees and the nature, and it's gorgeous. He's given us bodies that can do absolutely incredible things and minds that allow us to create and to build whatever we would like to build. And in return, it should be natural for us to respond with a heart of thanksgiving for all that God has done for us. And that's actually the picture that we see through all of the Bible painted. It begins in the fourth chapter of Genesis with the very first brothers, Cain and Abel. At this point, there was no regulation on them for how to interact with God, but we see them giving an offering of their crops and of their livestock to God as a simple thank you. Then as the law is given, God gives them a command through these festivals to remind them to give back from the crops of the season, to remind them that everything they have comes from God. Then we look at the poet and king David, as he wrote many of the psalms that we have in our Bible. And so many of them point out his attitude, his heart of thanksgiving to God in everything in his life. We get one such example, actually, that inspired that last song, Ever Be, we just sang, from Psalm 34, verse 1. King David wrote, I will extol the Lord at all times. That word extol, I had to look it up. We don't use that word. It means praise enthusiastically. I will praise enthusiastically the Lord at all times. His praise will always be, ever be, on my lips. Then we turn into the New Testament. We get to Jesus. And we see pictures of Jesus giving thanks to God at numerous times. First, before he feeds the 5,000, it says he prayed, he gave thanks to God. And then he took that bread and the 7 loaves feed 5,000 people. Before he prays to bring Lazarus back to dead, he gives thanks to God. The most famous time is at the Last Supper, the picture we have that we remember through communion. In Matthew 26, verse 26, we read, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. In all these critical junctures throughout Jesus' own life, we see him thanking God before he does the incredible miracle. And finally, we see the Apostle Paul. He writes to numerous churches, various churches all across the Mediterranean. And he, in those letters, he both gives thanks to God and encourages people to be filled with gratitude for themselves. So let's take a look at just one small section where he does this three different times in a small portion in his letter to the church at Colossae. So in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, we begin with, he writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So a quick summary of this passage, if you missed it, is that God wants for us to live at peace and be thankful. He wants us to teach and admonish one another with gratitude in our hearts. And ultimately, no matter what we do in all of it, give thanks to God. It really sounds so simple, doesn't it? Give thanks. It's like when you really want your kid to understand something, you know if you say it once, there's no way they're going to get it. So you repeat it over and over in a bunch of different ways until they say, I get it. And then you're like, okay, maybe it sunk in. I think that's exactly what Paul was doing here. He repeats, he just slides it in there. Live at peace, blah, 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 and be thankful. And he does this. He drops it over and over because it's such an important message for people to gather. And we all nod our heads in agreement. Yes, we should be people who live with gratitude. And now maybe you're thinking, wow, Ryan, great message. It's really simple. We can get out of here quicker. And I honestly was thinking the same thing as I was prepping this. I'm like, what more is there to say than give thanks, you ingracious people that don't... No. But here's the thing. Here's why there's more to this message. Because there's a problem that I think we all understand. While we know in our heads that it's important to be thankful, like I've already discussed, in our hearts, often our gratitude never gets beyond the platitudes, the cliches that we simply say to be proper, to be polite, and then moving on to the next thing. It's like on Christmas Day when you give your kids all these gifts, and each gift they open and they're like, thank you, and then, but they really want to just get to the next box. Like, thank you, and to the next one. And then they're happy, they have the gifts, but it's like 2 p.m, you've had lunch, and they come up to you and they're like, I'm bored. And you're like, what the heck? You've received all these good gifts and you're already looking to the next. You already have a lack inside of you. You're looking for more because all these new gifts weren't good enough. How can you be bored? I had this experience Friday. It's not in my notes. My son literally has half of his drink left and he says, can I get more before we leave? And I'm like, you have 12 ounces of soda in your cup and you're asking for more soda before we leave. How do we do that? How do we have so much and yet still experience lack and not have a heart of gratitude, a heart of thankfulness, but always have eyes for the next thing? Unfortunately, so often when we have these moments, what we're doing is we have that the gratitude in our heart, we get the gift, we open it up, we say, thank you. It's this emotional, temporary burst in our heart. Thank you. But it always seems to lack staying power. And that's because gratitude shows up in two different forms. Okay, the first form of gratitude is a temporary feeling. But the other form is a dispositional trait. It's something that's just inside of you. You are a person of gratitude. In one sense, it's that quick thank you that the kid says without ever looking up from one gift, ripping open the next. And in the other sense, it's that just being that demeanor that when people interact with you, they can tell that you are a person who appreciates everything that you are given. And as we looked at all the examples of gratitude in Scripture, I think it's very clear to us that God desires for us to experience gratitude in this second form as a dispositional trait. He built it into multiple annual festivals so that people wouldn't forget to be grateful for an entire year. We only have one festival. That's on us. Maybe we should have four of these things throughout the year so that we remember to go around the table and make our kids say what they're thankful for and make us be more specific in thinking, what are we actually thankful for? And clearly, Paul feels the same way as he tells the Colossians, in whatever you do, do it for Jesus, giving thanks to him. And the fascinating thing that I found as I was researching for this message is that psychology actually lines up with exactly what the Bible tells us and these lessons found in Scripture about gratitude. Studies have shown that those people who live lives of gratitude will be more likely to experience positive emotions, feel more alive, get better sleep, have more compassion and kindness, have greater life satisfaction, and even gain a stronger immune system. So it helps you both with your mental health, it helps you with your physical health. Like, God has clearly wired us that if we are people of gratitude, it is all in all better for our entire beings. And the psychology world tells us that it accomplishes these things by shifting our attention from this focus on what I want, these needs that are lacking in me, or these negative feelings of jealousy or of resentment, and instead it turns our focus on the good things in our lives that we already have. It turns our focus on those who are responsible for giving us those good things, who have so generously and kindly given us those things so that we have an appreciation for what we have rather than a focus on what we lack. And this is really what's at the core of gratitude, these two things. It's an appreciation for the good things a person has to the one who gave them. So really, when we give thanks, we're answering two questions. And those questions are, what are we thankful for? And to who are we thankful to? And it's how we answer these questions that determines how grateful a person that we actually are. When I sit around my Thanksgiving table, I know that I'm going to hear these usual answers. I'm thankful for family and for food and for friends and for school, for a car, a warm house over my head. And all these things are the immediate things, the tangible things that come to our minds that make us happy and leave us feeling comfortable and safe. But what happens if you're a person who didn't have a great, easy year? What if you had that financial hardship that left you leaving stressed the whole year long? What if you had that close person in your family pass away? Then are you not to be thankful? If we're only thankful for these big obvious things right in front of us, then it seems like the only people who can be thankful are those who have had all of life go really well for the entire year. It seems like all of a sudden circumstances dictates how much gratitude that we have in our own hearts. And for some people, yeah, they would probably say, how grateful I am is fully based on the circumstances in my own life. I am only grateful when everything's good, and I struggle to be grateful when things are bad. But that's problematic because most of the time, life isn't going great. Most of the time, there's always something that takes all of your attention, all of your focus, and leaves you feeling stressed, overwhelmed, anxious, and thinking, man, my life is just so hard. I mean, if you think of the percentage of your life where you're like, life is great, and the percentage that life is hard, it's probably more like this. And so we're always living in the focus of, God, I need your help here, I need your help here, and rarely in that, God, thank you for being good. But is that how we're actually called to live? Or is it better if we step back and we look at life through a much larger lens? Instead of all these little things in front of us that might be going wrong, we see the bigger picture in our lives and how God is working through our lives even through those trials. The perfect model that we have in Scripture for that is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, we have to remember, is a guy that he writes in one letter about how he's been multiple times he's been beaten, he's been stoned, he's been shipwrecked, arrested, and left for dead. And yet he's the author of such things as this in Romans 1:8. He writes, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, he writes, but thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Jesus Christ. In Romans 6:17, but thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. Paul is a big picture guy. He writes many of these letters while he's sitting in a jail cell. And yet he's full of joy and gratitude and thanksgiving for that God is working through all the Mediterranean, that people's lives are being saved, that Jesus set prisoners free, and that people are able to live without all the shame and without all the trappings of the culture, and they're able to know that they can be sons and daughters of God. He looks at life through that lens, and then the fact that he has shackles on his wrists seem like such a small, trivial thing. Do you see how his heart of thanksgiving is able to develop differently when he's looking at the big picture of how God is at work? Ultimately, he lives out the very instructions that he wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. He said to them, and this is like a perfect picture of his life, he told them, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. His intentional choice to be thankful is what got him through the difficult situations. And if you're going through a difficult situation in your own life, if you're heading into Thanksgiving thinking, what is there for me to be thankful for? I'm encouraging you today to step back and take that bigger picture at all that God has done in your life, at all the people who are helping you through that difficult time, and recognize that while life may have you in a very difficult situation, there aren't still a million different things that God has been at work in your life doing for you. And we need to focus on those things and not the one or two things that are going poorly. Now to the second question that we must answer to express gratitude is, who are you thankful to? First, we recognize the good things in our lives, but then we have to assign the source of those good gifts. And this is another area where we so often get tripped up. So when things go badly in our life, we're good at blaming other people, like, oh, that went bad, but that's your fault, okay? However, when things go well, we're so quick to be like, man, look at me. I did that all on my own. I'm fantastic. I've got the money to pay the bills because I worked hard for the job. I'm awesome. And so rather than being thankful to somebody, we're like, well, I deserved it. We almost feel like the good things are a wage that are being paid to us. I worked hard for it, so I got it. There's nobody to thank but me. I earned it. I had this coming. And so we stumble on this gratitude. Maybe we recognize we've got some good things going in our lives, but rather than thanking somebody, expressing gratitude to somebody outside of ourselves, it just allows us to puff ourselves up, to become prideful, feeling like, man, I have achieved so much. And rather than the good gift reminding us to give thanks to God for all He's doing, we become these prideful monsters like toddlers at Christmas, that thinking that it's all about us. Who needs God anyway? And so this shows another reason why a sense of gratitude is so important in a Christian's life, because it reminds us that we are not self-sufficient. We cannot do this on our own. This isn't a world where we're supposed to figure it all out, but we are to lean on the Father, who wants to have relationship with us. It reminds us that we are not entitled to anything, but that we must be grateful to the One who is beyond all of our lives, who's gracious and kind and patient and full of mercy. And ultimately, having a heart of gratitude should, like Paul said, point us to giving thanks to God for everything that we have. So, we know that God wants us to give thanks regularly. We know that psychology says it's really good for your mental health and for your physical health to be a person of gratitude. We know that we are to be grateful regardless of our circumstances. So how can we turn these short, temporary emotional feelings of thanks into that dispositional trait that just lives inside of us, this constant appreciation for what is good in our lives? And so there's three things I want to point us to, because genuine gratitude must be more than just words. It has to be more than just saying thanks when somebody hands you something. And interestingly, our actions can actually build a sense of gratitude. It's like a spiral that the more we do something to live out a heart of gratitude, the more it builds a thankfulness inside of us that we want to do more. So these are the three things that we can do. The first is be a generous person. When you recognize others who have needs and you generously reach out and help them, it actually forces you to see the good in your own life. It forces you to see that you have what that person was lacking for needs, you already have. And the things that you feel maybe you're lacking, you recognize, oh, those are the nice to haves and the wants. And so when you're generous to people who have real needs, it helps you shift your perspective and see how small maybe your thinking is. And it gives you a larger lens on this life. Secondly, give thanks. Take the time to regularly reflect on what you are thankful for and who you are thankful to. Journal it out. Write it down what you're thankful for. That forces you to be specific, because you can't just write family, family, family every day. It gets really boring. You have to start saying, what am I specifically thankful about my spouse for, or about my kids? What trait, what thing did they do? It forces you to think more deeply, to develop that heart of gratitude. Or maybe you can make a jar and put notes in it. Every time something good happens, write a note, put it in the jar. Periodically pull it out and remind yourself. When you're feeling the blues, you're feeling like, man, does God even see me anymore? Pull stuff out and realize all the ways that God has been working in your heart. Or take time to write a note. Being specific and telling somebody why you appreciate them. You have thank you cards in front of you right now. I know you all saw this, and you knew this moment was coming. Grab the card out right now. We're not going to take the time to write the whole note, but as we've been talking, maybe somebody has come to mind for you. And pull out a pen. They're on the sides, outside sides of the hymnals and Bibles. And at least write a note, because then you have to fill out that card. Once you write your handwriting in it, you can't just leave it on the sound booth at the end of the service. You have to bring it home, and then it will guilt you into finishing that note, putting it in the envelope, handing it to that person or putting their address and a stamp on it and mailing it to that person. But take a moment. Maybe it's somebody that you don't normally say thank you to. Maybe it's somebody that years back in your life did something that shaped you and you never gave them a formal, like, you realize you had a huge impact in my life? Take that time to say, God, thank you for putting that person in my life. Thank you for that thing that they did, meet my need in that situation. But write it down. Not only is it good for your heart, it's good for theirs when they receive it. It's good for your relationship. It brings you closer when people see that they're not being taken for granted, but that their life has purpose as well. So give thanks. Take that note. Write a name in it right now. If I see all notes, this is like a pretty full. These notes should all be gone, so we have to restock for second service, okay? Don't let me down. And finally, the third thing we do is we praise God. We say thank yous to those that are here, but praising God is really just a way to say thank you to God. We can do that through song like we're going to do in just a moment as we wrap up this service. We can do that in how we live our lives. Paul tells us that our lives are ultimately an offering to God in everything that we do. But we need to have an attitude of recognizing all that God has done for us. And we need to respond by praising him and thanking him and letting him know with our whole heart how grateful we are for all that he's done, not just in our physical world, but in our spiritual world. Thanking him that we are forgiven. Thanking him that he no longer sees our faults and our failings. Thanking him that he's given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us and to provide everything that we need. In the Gospel of Luke, we get this really sad picture of some men who failed to give thanks to Jesus for what he had done. In Luke 17, Jesus is walking on the road and he crosses 10 lepers, it says. And lepers had a skin disease that they were thrown out of the city, ostracized, couldn't be near anybody because it was highly contagious. Nobody wanted to be by him. So the only people who could hang out with a leper were other lepers. And they call out to Jesus and they beg Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he tells them, go to the priest. That would have been what you did if you were healed of leprosy. And show him that you're clean. And on the road as they were walking, their leprosy fell off and they were healed. It's this incredible story. But the sad end of the story is that only one of them returns back to Jesus to say thank you. And here's my charge to you. Don't be like the other 9 lepers who are so wrapped up in the good thing but then wanted to move on to the next thing that they failed to go back to God and say, God, thank you for what you have done in my life. Thank you for this good thing and that good thing. And instead, they're so wrapped up in their own worlds, they just moved on. God wants more than that from us. He wants us to be a people who have a heart of gratitude, that it's just a trait inside of us. It's how we live. So let's develop our sense of gratitude and live with a heart where we regularly and constantly thank God for all the good gifts he's put into our lives. And then maybe, just maybe, you'll get better sleep tonight. Would you